Welcome to the Rock Harbor Podcast. We're so glad you've decided to tune in today. We'd love to stay connected with you, and one of the best ways to do that is through our social media platforms, at Rock Harbor TV. Also, we'd encourage you to download the Rock Harbor app. It's one of the best ways to follow along with today's teaching and the best way to stay connected with everything going on here at Rock Harbor. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, hey, good morning. Can we say good morning to those people that are still out on Chinden? Oh, I'm so sorry. Construction taking place on a Sunday, but not really taking place, but the signs are up for it. It's just kind of a bummer, but thank you for your patience. We're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit this morning. Gentleness, kindness, goodness, patience. We're taking a break from the Beatitudes just to address some of your behavior in the parking lot. And so, no, for real though, we are in the Beatitudes, and it's Matthew 5 if you want to turn there. But something I've noticed about the Beatitudes as we've been studying, I've been convicted every single week. Good news is the Beatitudes are convicting, but they're not condemning. Okay, they're convicting, but not condemning. Jesus is saying, blessed are the meek, right? He's saying, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is, they'll be satisfied, they will be filled, different things like that. And so it's actually compelling. It's compelling to desire these things. And this is why Jesus, this is how he preached. But this is also what God sent his only son to do. John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world in order that the world might be saved through him. Not to condemn, but to grant righteousness through his shed blood, the Beatitudes. See, they're confrontational. It's our way or it's God's way, right? Our way, temporary satisfaction. God's way, eternal blessing. And all these different blessings are mentioned. What it means is, if we're going to step away from our way, we have to submit to God's authority. We have to have our will bent following him. It means I want to obey his commands. We have a couple of dogs. In fact, we have three, so that's more than a couple. It's a few. And we've got a golden doodle that everybody wanted but now has become my dog. And so she's 9. Absolutely love her. But we also have 2 labs. We have twin boys, and when you got twin boys, you get two dogs. And these dogs, we got them into bird hunting training, okay? So you can make a bird dog out of these dogs. I'm going to give you guys an opportunity real quick, okay? Just looking at these pictures, you're going to pick by pointing to the side of the room that that dog resides on. And so if you think the yellow dog flunked out of, dog education, you're going to point that way, okay? If you think that the black dog flunked out, you're going to point that way, okay? Which dog failed? Okay, most everybody picked the yellow dog, and you're wrong. It was the black dog. The black dog just wanted a friend. That's what we were told. Great dog. And something about this dog, the litter before this dog, one of those dogs became Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty's dog. We got ripped off is what that means, okay? But don't worry, he's living his best life. He's super great, just loves it. Sweet dog, just amazing. Obeys when he wants. You know, he's got a really good life. But the other dog, I want to talk about the disciplines that come in when you're trying to build a bird dog, okay? And it starts with your basic commands, right? Sit, stay, hear. Basic obedience commands. This is obedience. And then you've got the more advanced. These are the ones that take discipline, where you teach them mark, you teach them place, you teach them go on command. They don't just go when they want, they go when you say bow, and then bow goes. And that's what takes place. And then you've got the more advanced training, which is retrieving, which is what a retriever longs and desires to do. That is the goal, that's the dream. The retrieving is, I mean, they go, they retrieve, then they water retrieve, then they blind retrieve, where they don't even know where whatever it is that you shot, where it went, but they're going to find it, okay? And so that's all the things, and I tell you all that, not just to show you pictures, like I tell you that because this is what it means as we grow in a relationship with God. This is what it means as the Beatitudes build on one another. It takes the basic commands, the basic obedience. Like if you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, the basic obedience would be, hey, I'm going to follow Jesus in baptism. Jesus was baptized. I too will be baptized. And then it's taking that next step. I'm going to share my faith. I'm going to trust my master. I'm submitted to my master. So each one of these Beatitudes that grow into these different things that are blessed are they? Peacemaking. Today is about being a peacemaker. And this was a big one. Because in this day and time, when we say the number seven, we don't think much about it, but the number seven meant perfection. And so you got to know the Jewish crowd that was sitting there like, here's six, and they're like, ooh, that's a good one. Pure in heart, that is good. But I wonder what seven is. And they were counting off in their mind because that's what they did. See, for us, it's just another number. We would just be like, oh, we're in week seven of the Beatitudes, cool. Like, how long is this series going to go? When are we going to talk about something not in Matthew 5? You know, when's Christmas coming? I love Christmas. I got my tree up. Boom, boom, boom. You know, whatever it is. But in that day, in that time, they were literally going, what is next? Because this, there's something significant about this one. So when Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. They were like, oh. They're processing. They're starting to think, okay, what does it mean to be a peacemaker? Because we live in a world with no peace, and there was peace struggles back then. When Jesus was saying, blessed are those who make peace, they weren't looking. When he said, like, I'm God, whenever he was living and saying, follow me, they were looking for a war winner, not a peacemaker. They were looking for a war winner. And there wasn't peace in that world. There was a lot of conflict going on, especially in the religious crowd of who was most righteous and all these different things. I mean, think about the world we live in, the lack of peace that happens to be here. But we're called to be peacemakers. How do you get peace? Think about it. Some of you are like, I just want peace in my home. I want peace and quiet. My home's fine, but these relationships, I need peace in my workplace. If I could get some peace in my marriage, which props to you, so many, like over 1,000 people came to marriage night. That is not common. That many people to say, I want to pour into my marriage. You can clap. I'll just keep my hand here awkwardly. Follow my instructions. Clap. Now stop. There, we nailed it. I felt the spirit. That was not forced at all. But to see like that taking place, see people, I want that. I want peace in my marriage when we live in a place of absolute lack of peace. You know, like last week, Paul wanted to show a picture of his grandkid playing soccer. It didn't have anything to do with the message. He just wanted to show a cute picture of his grandkid. And so that's why I showed a picture of my granddogs, just to match that. But the illustration he said about the swarm, like people just following, like to be a peacemaker, you're going to have to break away. And he was saying, like, there's success to be had outside of the swarm if you can just break away from the chaos that goes on. The rest of the field is wide open, and so there's plenty of peace to be made in your life and my life, but we're going to have to break away from the chaos and what everybody else has going on. How do we be peacemakers in a peaceless world, in a godless world? Like, do you understand how many people live as if there's no God? People that even claim faith live, they live. I didn't say they don't believe in God. They live as if there's no God. Where did that get the world in the days of Noah? There was a flood. There was annihilation. It was just Noah and his family. See, over and over, we repeat these cycles. But we are called to be peacemakers in this confusing, chaotic place. Do you take peace with you everywhere you go? You know, when you show up in a room, you're supposed to bring peace with you. You're supposed to make it. Does your house get more peaceful when you come home? Is the office more peaceful when you're there? Is the team more peaceful with you being part of it? Whatever it is for you, is there peace that comes along with you? Because the Hebrew word for peace is shalom, and that word is used as a greeting. But additionally, there's a definition behind this word shalom, and it is a wholeness, a completeness, an inner rest living without deficiency or lack. Perfect. No deficiency, no lack, inner rest. See, shalom in the middle of the craziest of situations. It's like that perfect orchestra where people are playing when they're supposed to play, they're resting or not playing when they're not supposed to play. The violin is not competing with the cell phone. I was going to say viola, but the cell phone literally kept ringing. Like everyone hears about you. So you've got the violin, you've got the viola, you've got the oboe and the cello, and they're not competing with one another, and they're playing at the right times, and they're playing in the right keys, and it's flowing so well. But it's not just the piece. We're also supposed to be makers of peace. A maker, the root word of to do, we're to do peace. Like, we're not just a peace seeker. Seeking peace is good. We're not just a peace lover. Loving peace is good. But we're peace bringers. We bring peace with us. We're not just trying to keep the peace. Peacekeeping is not bad, but if peacekeeping is the only thing, you'll appease things that you aren't supposed to appease. You won't confront things. You'll be busy keeping a relationship rather than growing. You'll be keeping your friendships rather than having difficult conversations. Peace doesn't mean no confrontation and appeasement. Hey, let's just pacify every situation. That doesn't solve things. That's saying I care more about the friendship than I care about godliness or righteousness or obedience or growing or maturing. Peacekeeping in a home as a parent, you're going to have kids running the house. Peacekeeping in a marriage, oh, I'm just trying to keep the peace. You're going to have a loveless marriage. Just trying to keep the peace until it explodes. Then you've always been like this. It's dangerous, so it doesn't mean that there's an absence of these things. See, biblical peacemaking can be confrontational. And we live in a world where, man, to expect, like, I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm supposed to keep the peace, but how can I handle, like, keep the world at peace? That's a lot. Well, it's not your responsibility to keep the world at peace, but you're supposed to keep peace within your domains. So think about that. Think about what's going on around the world. Next week, I'll be talking about Israel a little bit and talk, hey, what does this mean? Because I was like, Lord, do you want me to speak about this on blessed are the peacekeepers or blessed are the persecuted next week? Because there's persecution that's going on. There's peace that's being sought and there's peace that's being taken. There's evil that's being done. What are we supposed to do? Because like we're here and this is there and that's them and that's generational hatred. Like, where do I stand as a follower of Jesus? What am I supposed to do in this? Peace isn't just an absence of war. Peace isn't just an absence of disagreement or an absence of problems or conflict. Peace is not just an absence of stress or anxiety. And it's not just this warm, fuzzy feeling that you have. We're not looking for that. Peace is not found in the absence of chaos in the world. Rather, it's displayed in the very presence of chaos. That's what peace is. It's shown even in the worst of circumstance and situation. It's displayed and it's made because we're makers. We're to be makers of peace. And biblical peace calls for no violence. Biblical peace calls for a lack of strife to be healed. The violence, the hatred, all of it to be eradicated. That seems impossible with all the drama and the political climate that goes on and the racial strife that's happening. Like, how am I supposed to deliver this peace? How am I supposed to make and bear this peace? Well, we can't share something we don't have. So it begins with the peace of God. It really begins. Like, we cannot give peace if we have not received the peace of God. So we have to experience peace with our God. To experience peace with our God. Every time Paul wrote a letter to anyone, throughout it, it says peace over and over again. Now, he didn't write chapters and he didn't write verses. Paul wrote a letter. But you can't make it through a chapter without seeing the word peace when he wrote. In Romans 5, 1 through 2, which verse 3 through 5, I'll share next week because it talks about suffering. But 1 through 2 talks about this core of peace that can come through Christ. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we've also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Hope of the glory of God through the peace that's been granted to us. That's God's way. That's blessed are. That's the sons and the daughters of God. Not a week goes by without someone in this church surrendering their life to Jesus Christ, saying, I want to make Jesus my Lord and my Savior. I've run, but I am done running. I've tried to do things on my own, but I am done trying things on my own. I have sinned, but I've fallen short. I'm surrendering my life to Jesus Christ. Not a week goes by without someone crossing from death, eternal darkness and separation from God, to life in Jesus Christ. That is not something that gets old. It never gets old. In fact, Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself is our peace. Once far away. Some of you would say, I feel like I've sinned my way away from God. I've sinned too much for his grace. Is he really going to forgive me again? I'm supposed to be better than I am right now. By this point in my life, some of you have said, hey, if you know my good outweighs my bad, or I'm a pretty good person, or I'll get to that, I'll think about that. I don't really know what I believe about that. And it's been more than weeks, it's been more than years, it's been a decade, and it's been, I don't really know, or skepticism, or would a good God really send somebody away from his presence? No, our sins sent us away from his very presence to a place that wasn't created for you and I, but it's a place, if there's one of two places, heaven or hell, according to the Bible, that we spend eternity. We can't earn our way, and our sin has set us on a course to separation. But God in his grace, but God in his peace sent his son Jesus. And I absolutely believe that today there are people in every single service that will surrender their life to Jesus Christ. They're going to say, I'm done running. They're going to say, I surrender. People that are going to say, I felt so far away. But as I heard that verse, as I recognize, and I just, today's the day, and I surrender my life to him. So at the end of the service, I'll give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can do that upon any time. But I'll just tell you, it begins with experiencing the peace from our God. That's the starting point. Secondly, experiencing the peace with ourselves. To experience peace with ourselves. Now, some of you are looking at that and going, Keith, it's not two words. And I'm looking at you and I'm saying, yeah, it is. You know why? Because selves is actually a word. Did you know that? Now, it looks weird like that, but I looked it up in a couple of different dictionaries. And I understand I got my education in Kansas. I also understand that on the ACT, there's 36 possible points. And I got a 14 in English. I got a 16 in comprehension. And God made me a pastor. And I get to write a message every single week. And God, I get to use my grammatical intelligence on things like this. Now, I did almost get a 30 in my math and my sciences, but I'm not using those to this day. But the word selves, to think you can have peace within yourself. You can have peace in your actual heart because you've experienced the peace that comes from God, and then you're settling in. It's like that dog in training, the trust with the master going, you know what? This discipline of place is not easy. I liked going. Whenever I saw something, I wanted to go get it. But now I'm waiting for my name. That's what it looks like when we're in submission to God. Like, hey, God, I'm trusting your timing. I want to go after this. I want to have this conversation. I want to give them some words. I want to tell them what they need to think. But I'm going to wait on your spirit because I want to be a peace bringer. I'm not a prover. But I'm a peace bringer, so I'm going to wait patiently till you say go. actually when you say my name. Bless you. If there wasn't 1,400 people in this room, I wouldn't have to say bless you seven times a service. But there's 1,400 people here, and you guys sneeze. And I want to be polite, so bless all of you. So you've done been blessed for the rest of today. Experiencing peace with ourselves, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you trust your master and recognize he's guarding you, his knowledge surpasses any of our understanding. He's bigger than anything we can see, and he sees everything to trust him. If we rewind it back, reverse a little bit, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We don't have to be anxious. We have a trust relationship with him. He's going to give us that opportunity to run. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. He wants us to focus on today, but he wants our very best of every day. He wants our first of our finances. He wants our first of our day, of our time. He gave us gifts to use to serve him greatly, to experience peace within our life. There's nothing like it. The problem is we get caught up in what ifs. You ever about what if'd yourself to death? What if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens again? They've done this before. But God wants to come in and say, don't be anxious. And what if we turned our what ifs to even ifs? Even if this happens, even if this circumstance takes place, what if we experience peace in all of our circumstances? Is that possible? Well, John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. He's warning, like, don't be afraid. You know why? Because fear and anger are peace takers. Fear and anger will take your peace like that. Your peace. Do you understand how quickly it will leave your body when you go to leave the parking lot? Maybe even before. It'll just set in. The anger that comes because it's that same action that person has done. Just the simple word annoyance can steal our peace. Just being annoyed, peace is gone. He says, I don't give peace like the world gives peace. You know why? Because the world is a peace faker. The world fakes peace. Oh, this will make you happy. You'll never have to buy one of these again. You'll be good forever. That's what the world says. That's why Paul said in Philippians 4, like, I've learned to be content, man. I've been through a lot of circumstances, but I've learned to be content whatever I've been handed. Like, I have a peace no matter what has happened. So we have to make a choice. Are we going to live cross-culturally? Are we going to break away from the swarm, rest of the field, to be a peacemaker? Not a peacekeeper, not a peace lover, but a peacemaker. See, it's different. It's a different way of living. It's a hard way of living. It's sometimes confrontational. And think about it like this. Remember, you're not supposed to change the entire world. Like, you don't have to peacemake the world. World peace is not the goal. But creating and bringing peace, be a maker and a creator of peace in your domain. Wherever you are, wherever you live, whatever you do, the home that you're in, the roommates that you have, the community that you're in, the workplace that you're in, are you bringing peace? You have a son or a daughter that's struggling with peace. Are you bringing peace or are you adding chaos? Bringing peace to them? Are you praying for peace? Are you seeking the Lord for peace? See, I can't believe how many times since we've been studying Sola Scriptura, and then additionally, like when I'm reading the Bible, it's amazing, like how many times you're just like totally tuned in, you're like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what we talked about on Sunday. Or that is exactly what one of the Beatitudes is. And that happened to me this week in James chapter 3. James chapter 3 calls out wisdom. And I want to say something before I start. I've never seen the work cited that James turned in whenever he turned in this letter. But he sure as heck better give in reference to Jesus in Matthew 5 because he completely ripped it off. Okay? James 3:13, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Meekness, stole that from one of the Beatitudes, okay? But this is a great question. Who's wise among you? And then he goes into two kingdoms, and there's always two kingdoms. There's always an attack from one kingdom, and there is a blessing from another kingdom. There's a lie from one kingdom and disorder, and then there is peace and truth from the other kingdom. Kingdom of disorder. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. It is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Do you understand the work of demons? The work of Satan that's all around, and this calls it out. It is unspiritual, it is earthly, and it is demonic. It is not making peace, it's making chaos. And what else? For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. That means Satan will stop at nothing. And something that is absolutely vile, like sickening to God because of infestation of sin, is gonna all of a sudden be okay, and you need to be accepting and tolerant of that thing. Whatever that thing is, yes, I understand it's sinful. Yes, I understand it's ungodly. Yes, I understand it involves children. Yes, I understand, but you're supposed to accept it. That's absolute disorder. That's unfounded rules and regulations, and it's a lie that's saying, no, you're actually freeing people. You're giving them, like, this is who they really are. Who you and I really are sinners. We are sinners that need to be saved by grace. And there's a kingdom that wants you and actually loves you. There's a kingdom that wants to make your life right. Shalom. It's the kingdom of peace. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Huh. So if I sow peace, it will make more peace. Yeah, peacemaking plants seeds to produce more peace. And if you're willing to do the work, if you're willing to put the work in to make peace, your home will make more peace. Onefold and twofold and threefold and fourfold. Are you making peace? And we're granted, this number 7 is crazy. It's the 7th beatitude. And we're granted the greatest thing. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be peaceful. Nope. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be happy. Nope. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll have a lot of really great things in this life. Nope. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be the sons and the daughters of God. Nothing greater. You're in his kingdom. If you make peace and Jesus Christ is your Lord, he is your Savior, there is a peace that passes all understanding. You are a child of the King. You're a son. The greatest thing that you would ever desire is to be in the kingdom of God, to be his son, to be his daughter. You haven't made your own kingdom and try to sprinkle a little bit of God on it. That's what the religious people were doing. But being a peacemaker, he's saying, you're mine. This is a proud dad saying, way to go. You've made peace and it's not easy. You've submitted to my authority and I'm the only one that can grant peace. And now through you, go and make peace. You're part of his kingdom. You're part of the kingdom of peace. Are you a child of the King? Would you bow your heads with me? Right now in this moment, the question has been asked, are you a child of the King? Have you surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you made peace with him? Have you received the peace that comes in Jesus Christ alone, dying on the cross for your sin and raising from death to life again so that you could have salvation? Have you surrendered to Jesus? Because that's what salvation is. If you haven't, I invite you to do that right now. You don't have to go another day apart from that peace. You don't have to go another minute. Today is the day of salvation. Would you pray with me and receive his love? God, thank you for making peace. Thank you for sending your only son for me. I believe. I surrender my life to you. I confess that I have sinned. And I ask for your forgiveness. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for bringing me peace. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Can we celebrate right now that people have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? He's brought his peace. Here's the hard part. We're not done. And here's why. Because it's peace with God, but then it's also peace with ourselves and peace with others and peace with circumstances. Here's a few questions that we want you to think about. We want to give you just about 90 seconds to process, to think, to pray, just right now as this song plays. They're just going to do a little bit of music. I mean, it's just playing. It's just a chance to reflect. For some of you, it involves getting your phone out, silencing it, and then taking a picture of the screen. An opportunity for you to reflect during this week, like, God, I want to become more like you. What's standing in the way? So take the next minute or so to reflect and seek the peace of God, and then I'll pray in just a moment. God, we thank you that these words that you impressed upon your only son to communicate are still here for us. And they're convicting, but they're not condemning. So today we walk out challenged. Today we're impressed by your Spirit to bring peace to every environment you place in front of us. God, we trust you. And we receive your correction, your direction, instruction. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Well, hey, we believe in next steps and we'd love to help you take yours. So over the last few minutes, maybe you felt the Lord has called you to something new, whether that's prayer, a conversation, or meeting a need specifically. We'd encourage you to DM us on a social media channel or email us at info@rockharbor.tv. Thanks for being here.